Have you ever had a business idea or an idea that's basically like slapped you in the face and you just could not walk away from it? You have to look into it. You have to do due diligence. You have to think about it. You have to consider, seriously, are you ready to drop it all in and just start a new business? Well, our next podcast guest, Justine, well, that exactly happened to her. I don't know if it hit in the face, but she definitely said lightning bulb, so I went with it. Join us for our chat with Justine from Terran, who's going to talk to us about her building journey and the inception and birth of Terran.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders,
our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
Justine, you've had such an interesting story and journey that's led you to here. And I'd love to, maybe let's start off with a little bit about how and what led you to Build Her.
You know, my husband and I have always really been into renovating and building, and we'd renovated a few apartments, and my maternity leave was renovating a caravan.
So, oh, fun.
You know, super fun, different podcast. But, you know, that like I'm a creative, I'm a copywriter. My background is always in creative, and I really like getting my hands dirty. So we'd always done really handy things, and we'd always really wanted to build a house. So basically my parents asked us if we wanted to build with them side by side. So since, you know, they did come with the promise of built-in babysitting, we said yes.
I was just actually thinking, cha-ching, that's a great idea. Mum and Dad, do you guys want to move back down to Melbourne?
Yeah, so we, you know, we found a piece of land and we did a little bit of research, but not sure if we really did enough at the time. We went to see a whole lot of different display homes. We landed up going with one of the high-end volume builders. We, you know, we really liked their display home. But from pretty early on in that process, we realized that it was really set up in a certain way for a certain structure, for a certain type of person. And I think you guys actually spoke about it in a recent podcast. You know, there is real benefits to that model. But once you start to deviate from their spec, you really realize it changes quite a lot. So we were looking for advice, but, you know, everything is in-house there. So their architects or their design team is in-house. Their engineers are in-house. Their, you know, even the building surveyor is very closely associated with, right, with them. So like in looking for advice on things like, you know, because every time we made a change, it just tripled the price because of how they're set up, right? And so I really wanted advice that was impartial, but there was no one to turn to because everyone was inside. So I started doing some more research, some research that I probably should have done earlier on, and I found Build Her. And I just like, I really liked you guys. I had a really great chat with Rebecca, and she, you know, she was straight away just so encouraging and so helpful. And, you know, I remember at the time, the thing I was obsessing about was the polished concrete floors, which is, it's actually quite a bookend because today my polished concrete floors are getting polished.
So, oh my goodness.
You know, so at the time, this is now 2 years ago, I was obsessing about polished concrete floors because it wasn't something that they would do for us. And Rebecca just had such good advice, and she was, you know, it's just speaking to someone who was a fellow polished concrete fanatic. I was like, oh, I found my people. So yeah, I literally signed up for the course that weekend. And I think more so than anything, you know, finding that Facebook group that you guys have was just like a treasure trove of information and just really helpful, unbiased opinions. And, you know, I like couldn't believe how much help these women were willing to offer for no, you know, like they get nothing out of it other than the joy of helping someone else. And, you know, like there were people who are like pretty major developers who were just emailing me with advice, and it was actually amazing. And so through that, we landed up leaving the volume builder at the end of the town planning process.
Can I just ask, at that point in time, were you still trying to build two houses side by side?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So it was always side by side because of the land that we'd built was quite narrow and very long. So we were already pretty deep into that process of the town planning, and that is a whole other ball game, you know.
That's a whole other podcast.
A whole other podcast. 2 years of that. Thanks, neighbor. So we actually had to do a complete redesign through the town planning process. What happened at the time was really stressful, but actually ended up being really lucky because we did this massive redesign because we had to come off the boundary, and I actually landed up designing the facade of our house. So that meant that when we got later down the process and we wanted to leave the volume builder because their initial quote was, well, our quote at the end of town planning was double their initial quote, and it was basically unbuildable at that price. And it hadn't been the kind of experience that we wanted to continue with. So we wanted to leave. And often what happens is you don't actually own your plans when you leave.
Not something that people realize up front because, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about it in our, I think it's in one of our modules, we have a whole lot of different pathways, and we talk about all the different pros and cons to each pathway, right? Because there's the right pathway for the right person. But people don't realize that when they walk into the situation that there are terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did you feel when you realized that actually you'd invested all this time into the design, your own heart and soul, your own ideas, mm-hmm. when you wanted to walk away, that you couldn't take that design with you?
God, like I actually, even just you saying that, I can feel like my whole body go cold. Like I remember it just being like just devastating, and then going into sort of fight mode, which I don't normally. I'm normally like, all right, let's just get out. But like I was like, no, I've designed this and I'm now going to fight for it. And we got some advice, and basically because we had been through this redesign process and I was the one who actually first drew up the facade, we actually did own the rights to that design. So we negotiated with the owner of the business. We had basically said to him, look, the price that it's at, you don't really want to build this. You know, it's so far outside of your model. Let us walk away. Let us walk away with our town planning drawings and we'll go from there. So we walked away and then had to have them, basically we had to start from scratch other than what was approved in town planning, and get a draftsman to redraw them and get them re-engineered and thermally assessed and everything, you know.
Start the design process again, so to speak.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, carry on the design process. I think there's a big misunderstanding out there on how long the design process actually takes, and that sometimes when people are presented with a set of drawings at a certain stage, they may look like they reflect a building, but they actually don't have the relevant information on them just yet because it's an iterative process and it takes time to layer in all that extra information.
Yeah, we realized just then talking to other builders that we were interested with that we didn't even have enough information for them to quote, you know. It was scary and it was daunting, and there were some big decisions that had to be made, and we'd landed up going with a draftsman to redraw them because, as I said, they were kind of our ideas. That is actually something that I now, I wouldn't say regret, but looking back, I think it could have been the actual build process could have been smoother if we'd gotten an architect to redraw them, because the draftsman expresses and does, it puts everything into them that we asked for, but there was a lot of detail missing. So, you know, like fast forwarding to finding, you know, the most amazing builder that we're absolutely in love with, and we've had such a good experience building with him. But so many times since then, he's come to us with, or his site manager's come to us with, well, how do you want, you know, the eaves to match, to line up with the, you know, the downpipes or whatever it is, like these technical questions. And we just don't know the answers. And because those weren't drawn in our plans, it's like a bit of a panic, right?
Yep.
And, you know, and back to builder. Ladies, how should this work? And, you know, there is always someone with the answer, which has been really good. But, we just realized that a lot of detail was missing even from that process. So, you know, we've been through quite a few iterations, but I guess the good part is, you know, we're now a month away from our house being ready. We're getting our polished concrete floors today. The houses are looking really beautiful and we have a builder that we're obsessed with, that we absolutely love. And the build, the actual build has been, from demolition onwards, has been a complete joy.
Now, I know that your story has a few topsy-turvy moments in it, and we often say that building is not a linear process. It's a lot of snakes and ladders.
Oh, totally.
So if I'm going to summarize, you basically started off on one process, then you realized that wasn't right for you and you started again in a different method. You had the documentation, you went out to market, you got three prices, you did a tender analysis. I remember you taking us through it in the Q&A. It was fantastic.
You helped a lot with that.
But you put a lot of work into that too. So don't sell yourself short. From there, you've actually then done something even more amazing than just getting your building built, because that's a huge achievement. Tell us a little bit more about Terran and how that idea has come to life.
So this was early last year, in the throes of 2020. I think we're in the negotiating stage of our contract. And even though this process had been so topsy-turvy, I kept saying, even in my first conversation with Rebecca, I was like, oh, this has been awful, but this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I still...
Oh, it's the worst, but it's the best.
Oh, it's the worst, but I still love it, you know. It's such a contradiction constantly. So anyway, one of the people who had been advising me all the way along was a really good friend of ours, Rod Seidner. He's like one of our closest friends, so I would go to him for advice when it felt, you know, appropriate. And he had just been helping us with finding a building surveyor. And he said, actually, you know, while we're chatting, my partner, which is Paul Keegan, his architect partner, we have an idea to run by you. So Rod and Paul have a really successful business called S&K Group. They're an architecture firm as well as a construction company. They work both separately and together. And they had this idea that at that point they'd already named Terran. And their idea came from the fact that Paul, as an architect, kept getting so many similar questions. He kept, you know, they're really, really high end. So many people kept saying to him, you know, do architectural plans have to always cost so much? Like, does it always have to take so long? Why am I blowing my budget? And these questions just kept coming up over and over again. So for a few years, they'd been sort of mulling these questions around and they'd come to this idea of creating something different for the market. And so they had this idea of pre-designed plans that could then be adjusted to a client's land and specifications, but it could be turned around quickly and for, you know, half the price because they would be pre-designed. So they came to me with that much of the idea. And my reaction to that idea was, you know, the clean version of my reaction was, why didn't you guys do this 2 years ago? Because this would have been perfect for me, you know. Like I really wanted architectural plans, but, you know, we wanted to know what they would cost beforehand and we didn't want to, you know, be blowing our budget, which of course we did. So they loved my enthusiasm when it came to the idea. They had come to me for advice in terms of my being a copywriter and marketer. But really from there they said, you know, we've got a really busy business. Like we need someone to run this thing. And I was like, yes, I want in. I want this. This is exactly what I want. It's such a good idea. It's such a gap in the market. How can I make this happen? And how can I be involved? You know, we negotiated a partnership, which was really exciting that they were, you know, they were open to that. They were, you know, financing it. And we, through the rest of 2020, we brought this thing to life. And yeah, with a lot of help from, again, builders along the way.
There's so many things to pull out of that story. But I think for me, one of the most things, the thing that I'm probably the most proud of hearing from you is that you had such confidence in the idea based on your own experience, but your own interests. You didn't let it pass you by. So a lot of other people would have just taken the copywriting gig and really loved the idea and put their heart and soul into the copywriting and the marketing. But I love that you went, how can I be more involved in this? I want to make this part of my life. And you've given birth to a business. It's huge. There's a huge amount of work that goes into setting up and launching a business. Outside of all the pre-due diligence work that you guys have had to have done to be able to launch your product to market, I actually want to commend you on that.
Thank you. Honestly, I think that there is so few occasions in your life, and you guys would have experienced this, where you hear an idea in its infancy that you go, yes, like that is a genuine gap in the market. That is a genuine need. It's something I myself have experienced, you know, like how often does that happen? It's like lightning, right? And, you know, it was kind of like a drop everything, let's make this happen. And, you know, luckily 2020 had already forced some of that. But no.
I remember we were having that conversation with another builder and you guys were pitching us a builder book idea. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, by the way, we've actually rewriting a book at the moment.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, this idea's come past my my desk. And I like, it's an opportunity I cannot walk past. And even then I remember thinking you were so excited about it.
I've never enjoyed what I'm doing more. Like even coming to now where, you know, Terran is launched, we have a beautiful website and, you know, renders that we've put so much effort into to show these designs. And the designs are, you know, God, I'm really proud of what the architects have delivered. I've never enjoyed what I'm doing more. I love being able to talk to people about building and that it's now like a professional part of my life as well as just a passion. Obviously, when it comes to Terran, you know, I'm the marketing side of it, right? So I'm talking to people about the product. I'm not the architect and I'm not the builder, but I get to be involved in those meetings and those discussions, and I just absolutely love it.
I wouldn't sell that part of it short, to be honest. I think when people approach businesses and they want to know more about how it all comes together, and particularly in building, it's very complicated, it's very complex. The questions that customers have are very varied, but you've got the understanding and the know-how, having gone through it yourself, but also gone through the process of how much time and effort the other two partners have put in into designing, developing the design, costing it out, pulling the details together, that you're able to communicate that. And I think that comes through in the copywriting, in the marketing. Being able to have that experience and have those conversations with potential clients is really helpful.
Well, I think what it is what they're coming to it from is a place of, you know, years of experience and understanding, whereas what I'm coming to it from is a place of understanding what I went through, yeah. Right? So even if it's like accurate pricing, like we don't want people buying these plans and having no idea what they're going to cost to build. So we wanted those to be, you know, for them to be really accurately priced and have, you know, been through rounds of, you know, value engineering to make sure that they were really working. And then, you know, also my experience in the details that were missing from my plans led me to talking to the architecture team about the level of detail that needed to be in Terran plans. And, you know, I was like, I'd just come from a site meeting where I'd been asked like 300 questions, my head was spinning, and I was like, I want to make sure that this doesn't happen to, you know, anyone who's building these. And they were like, look, their plans were already really detailed, but we just took it to the next level. We made a decision because of a lot of the support from the builders that we wanted these plans to be detailed enough that owner builders could build them. And so we just drove home to the team, every single thing needs to be resolved. You know, like last week they had a 2-hour meeting with a roof plumber to just define one gutter, you know, one little detail. And it's so fascinating to me that there is that much detail and like you can really see the difference. And I think when these homes start to get built, I think it will really come across, and I can't wait for that.
So, you know, I come from a background of, I come from a commercial background. So everything is fully documented. Everything is resolved down to the last detail so that one, you can get a competitive tender, and two, all the design work is done so the build can happen quite smoothly and quite quickly. That said, there are always things that come up. There are always buildability issues and there are always still variations. Not one building is ever so resolved that those things can be totally eliminated. But one of the big problems in the residential industry is that general everyday people are not able to bear that cost of that extra work. And so what tends to happen is things get documented with a lack of information, and then it's often the homeowner who is bearing the brunt of the costs of those, that lack of information. And that's no, there's no one person to really, or one industry to point the finger at there, because it's a sort of an amalgamation of a few failures across the entire process. When we spoke with you and Paul last week, and we went through a little bit more about Terran and how it's all come about, and I just wanted to sort of end on some things that I think are really great about the concept and the idea. One of the things that I loved about it is, yes, everything is very well resolved and designed beautifully. So you can get a higher end architectural looking home for yourself without having to go through a longer design process.
Yeah, 3 weeks is what we're able to turn around in. And like completely customized to people's land, you know, and specifications. And
I mean, that was my first concern was, okay, how do we customize? Buying off the plan, one of the challenges with that is it customized to your site and the orientation? But you guys can recustomize and adapt. Oh, totally.
And that's actually one of, orientation in particular was one of the early conversations with the Buildho group. Someone brought it up saying, actually a few people brought it up saying, will these plans work for my light, for my land? And we're like, so I straight away went back to the architecture team and said, how is it going to work? And, you know, they already had plenty of ideas on how to make it work. But, you know, that really became a really important part of it, because no two pieces of land are the same. And we're even discovering that more along the way in how much we're having to, you know, our first design package has gone out. And that is a Dahlia, you know, which is our biggest home, and it's actually double the size. Yeah. So we're really customizing these to people's land specifications, you know, the wants and needs of their lifestyles.
The other thing that I thought was really fascinating was also limited edition. So one of my concerns was like, hey, that's cool, it's a great idea, but I don't want my neighbor to build the exact same house next to me. So I love that you guys have limited editions to each of the designs, because it gives me some assurance that not only can I customize it to make it more individual for me, but if I didn't want to customize it, I'm not going to have the exact same home built next door.
Oh, definitely. Look, they are limited edition, and there are actually only going to be 10 of these home of each of these designs across the whole of Victoria. So there, you know, there's definitely not going to be a scenario where, you know, you're going to recognize that that home is replicated like you might with some of the, even the higher end volume builders. There is, you know, that you can kind of notice.
Well, you get a sense of that straight away.
You do get a sense of it, right? So we definitely wanted to avoid that, but we also wanted to make sure that they were able to be tendered. And so as a result, what we've created is the only limited edition plans that are able to be tendered, because there are other limited edition architectural processes out there, but those are also tied in with one particular builder. And, you know, whereas ours have the ability to be tendered or even owner build.
Built by anyone.
Yeah.
And that's a huge benefit. So the other thing that came to mind was the speed of getting to site, basically. At the moment, you know, people underestimate how long design actually truly takes.
Oh, yes.
And at the moment, there's a bit of a backlog with COVID, and builders are getting really booked up at the moment. So one of the things that I loved about your concept was how quickly from purchase of the set of documentation you can customize, send out to market and get your own prices back, or become the owner builder and actually pull your trade packages together. That is amazing. So, you know, like most of the time a project can take 2 to 3 years to really from inception all the way to completion. So that just cuts that time in half. And one of my other concerns was, and we spoke about this, how do you adapt to the soil conditions? And again, I think that 3 week period of customization and finalization almost with a structural engineer, with making sure that all the design details are coming together, is fantastic.
So the way we've done that is by working with an engineer really closely. They've already done the engineering for these homes to a few different soil conditions. And so what we're able to do is, once we have a client's soil report and their survey, we make the design adjustments that need to happen, and then we give them back to the engineers, and they are able to, because they've already done a lot of the work, turn that around within, I think, 10 days. So their time is built into the 3 weeks that we're able to turn it around. And as well as a thermal assessment, because the homes have already been thermally assessed from every orientation. So whilst we do get those certified by thermal assessor for each project, the work's already been done to a large degree. So, you know, there's just a lot less things to stress about.
It's amazing. You should be so proud.
Oh,
it's,
I'm so proud.
It's such a great concert.
I just love it, you know, and I love talking about it with potential clients and you guys in this industry. This is the industry. It's amazing.
And look, it's really cool to have a really smart idea and bring it to life.
You would know.
That's very rewarding. Okay. So, Justine, thank you so much for being with me here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We haven't even dived into all the other little aspects of your story, and this is the thing. Everyone's building journey is different. It's unique. It's your journey, and how you navigate that is uniquely you.
I could talk for hours, which I probably already have.
Well, I love the fact that what came out of your building journey is a really exciting future as, you know, what could be a really big player in the residential industry.
I really hope that these homes get built by builders. Like that's like my, you know, giving back situation. You know, I can't wait for it. I'm so excited.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.